Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro Police Department. He founded the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And we've also got Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, retired LAPD commander. He's only been retired about a year, but he's also the author of the new book that's coming out. It's not out quite yet, and it's called On Thin Ice, and you can go to jeffwinninger.com or onthinicebook.com to get more information. So, and mention our sponsors here real quick. We have Gauls, our new title sponsor at Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we're wrapping up the 6 week being on satellite radio. We got GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, on Medicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching 1.5 million followers right now. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store, which is at leoroundtable.com. They got really cool gear, like the shirt that I'm wearing right now. We don't charge anything extra for it. We're just trying to get our gear out there. So check out the online store built by Two Bells at leoroundtable.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thank you for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, guys, what in the world are we talking about today? The very first story, it's a main topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. We got a Democrat representative indicted by a federal grand jury. That is serious. For what? For assaulting, listen to this, for assaulting ICE agents. You guys know the story, and faces up to 17 years. Wow, 17-year penalty for that. Wow, that'll be pretty wild if that happens. We've also got Michigan State Police. They actually do a no-confidence vote, and this is from the troopers and their leadership. And then we've got another story. Nashville police officer fatally shot a man after he charges at the officer with a gun. We got officials release body cam footage of a fatal 2024 officer-involved shooting. Then we've got another one where a domestic violence suspect is shot by police when he holds an object in a shooting stance after the pursuit ends. And then finally, if we have time to get to it, Bend burglary suspect. He throws a Molotov cocktail and fights a canine inside of a gas convenience store, and he sets himself on fire accidentally. You got to love the. I mean, look, it's got the fur missile, the canine, and he sets himself on fire. I mean, can that possibly story get any better? So let's go ahead and start off with the main story real quick here. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media, the Democrat rep indicted by federal grand jury for assaulting ICE agents and facing up to 17 years. So U.S. Representative LaMonica McIver has been indicted by a federal grand jury, three counts related to the incident involving the federal law enforcement officers at the Delaney Hall Detention Center, which is in Newark, New Jersey, and this happened last month. Now, the indictment, it was returned in federal court. It charges McIver with forcibly impeding, assaulting, and interfering with federal officers, according to this announcement by U.S. Attorney Alina Haba. Now, the charges, they come from the alleged verbal abuse, and there's a lot of video on this thing, so I don't know how much alleged some of the stuff is, but verbal abuse and physical altercation with Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, ICE agents, during the course of their duties at this federal detention facility. Now, here's what the three-count indictment, this is what they are. The first one, count one, forcibly impeding federal law enforcement officers carrying a maximum penalty of 8 years in prison. Wow. Now, count two, interfering with federal law enforcement officers also carrying a maximum penalty of 8 years. So now we're up to 16 years. Count three, a separate count with a maximum penalty of 1 year. So if convicted on all counts, of course, McIver could face up to 17 years in federal prison. Wow. It's only been, about a month, and now we've got the indictment. And what is going to happen with this and where it's going to end? Lieutenant Randy Sutton, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'm very happy that the U.S. Attorney's Office is stepping up to the plate here. Clearly, this is a whole new day in the justice system, and they're making their voice known that they're not putting up with this anymore. Now, we all saw the video of what was taking place at that facility, and I mean, it was an embarrassment that this is an elected official acting in such a manner, and the mayor was all part of this. Somehow he skated on this deal. I don't know how that happened, but the mayor skated. This is clearly an example of the U.S. Department of Justice saying, not anymore, folks.
No, you're right. And look, the online commentary, it's wild. They have your guys back. Lieutenant Jeff.
Yeah, you know, let's look at things. When you're talking about law enforcement and you're talking about the Trump administration, their goal is to go from chaos to calm. That's it. And it's about law and order. And if it's really interesting about the Democratic Party, they're spiraling. They don't know which way to go. They do not have strong leadership. They do not have a vision. They do not have a message. There was a poll that was done nationally in April, from between the 7th and the 13th of April. And within the party, the Democratic Party, there was only a favorable overall approval of 19%. 19%.
Wow.
And you know, you can get that with family members and people that work for you. But, you know, 74% of the Democratic Party gave themselves a fair or poor rating when it came to pushing against the Trump policies. And 83% of Democrats, and most importantly, Democrats that are independent leading, say that Democrat leaders need to be more aggressive and assertive in challenging Trump. Well, the decision on how they're doing this is backfiring, because they don't know how to go about it any more than they know how to talk to men, where they're dropping $20 million to learn how to speak and to men. So it's really unbelievable to see the failures of the Democratic Party. And not only how are we seeing it here, where we have a politician that is being held to answer in the judicial system, we also had that judge who tried to block ICE from taking an individual into custody. So I hope that the message has been heard, and we need to have some collaboration between the two sides and come up with some solutions where ICE can effectively implement what they're trying to do, which they have the legal obligation and authority to do, and, you know, work together to find the best way to do this, because what's going on is just not working.
Yeah, you know, some of the commentary, I'll just take a couple of these. There's a lot of commentary right now. This one is from Facebook. Steve Hayes says, being a retired deputy, this is important to me. Sick of how disrespectful these people are being to law enforcement. And over on Rumble, MVS is even saying, because we've had some data released about the funding for these people, like who's paying for the riots is what he's asking. We all know that they're getting federal funding. And we found out that California, the state of California, there was a certain group that was funding at least the effort in California, and almost their entire budget was from the state of California, which is just kind of, you know, scary that tax dollars are funding that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, some of this stuff is not unique. It's been presented in the media as if it's new and unique, like where they showed video of these anarchists unloading bricks and helmets and things like that. You know, listen, back in 2000, when I was the assistant platoon leader for all the boots and mobile field force personnel in the field in downtown Los Angeles during a Democratic National Convention, we saw the same thing. And we, you know, we didn't have people really funding. But these people, these anarchists, are relatively well organized and well funded. That is a fact. It's not something new. But we learned a lot, and we were successful in managing the crowds during DNC because we saw a year prior in 1999, the WTO conference up in Seattle, where they had all kinds of failures dealing with the anarchists. Well, we learned a lot from that. So we were one step ahead of them, and we were able to be quite successful. But the key was being assertive. That first night, we took over 500 people to jail.
Oh, is that right?
That is the key. You have to be assertive and nip it in the bud.
You know, it's kind of funny how the people that are, you know, instigating this stuff, they're not the ones normally. I mean, we have a house rep that just got popped, but they're normally not the guys that are getting the handcuffs slapped on them. They're getting the people that have easily influenced, that are going out there and doing the demonstrations, and they're getting tagged for it and getting arrested and thrown in jail and stuff. And these people that are instigated and really pushing the effort, they're not taking much of a risk at all. They're just orchestrating this thing. I like to see more handcuffs on people that are running their mouths like this representative. I'm kind of curious for that federal case. I see ever since we've been talking about, you know, this representative being arrested for that and federally indicted, Randy's had a great smile on his face. So I picked up on that immediately. So
Guys, did I mean could Could anything get more ridiculous than Maxine Waters and her confrontation?
But she was there and there was no violence, Randy. I mean, it's almost like the reporter, remember the reporter saying that there was no violence and we had buildings on fire in the backdrop and he's on a major news network, you know, just saying that there's no violence, everything's under control here. You know, it's like Maxine Waters.
That happened again. A news reporter is going, these are mostly peaceful. And literally there's cars burning behind her. It's absurd. But and this is an elected official who's been been a congressperson for 800 years, and she's just out there running her mouth, looking like an idiot, threatening the federal authorities and saying, "Shoot me." I mean, it's absurd.
The reality is when you have such a politically charged tinderbox, where you're having these types of demonstrations, where you know the anarchists and people from outside the city are going to be coming to try to fan the flames and incite more violence and destruction to the city. You know, to claim that there's no violence is like saying, I'm going to jump in the ocean and not get wet. It's just, it's impossible. It's just going to happen. You can't avoid some of it. And to say that it's not going to occur is naive at best.
Well, guys, we've got only one update story, so it's okay with you. I like to jump into the videos, but I'm seeing here that we got a commercial break coming up that's sneaking up on me here. So we got a story with a video component. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our favorite title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different places, especially when we're looking online. But I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor and go to Gauls at Gauls.com and listen to this. They're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code so you get automatically 15% off your next purchase. That's good through June 30th at Gauls.com. The code is Radio 15, so Radio 15. Type that in, you get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com until June the 30th. And they have gift cards we give away two every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card. Gauls.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show, joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton and Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. And we're getting ready to talk about a story that's got a video component. So I always like to start off by saying that when we cover a story with a video component, we have a lot of Audible listeners, podcasts, radio station. Please stay loyal to those outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day, because at 9 o'clock in the morning on Eastern time, our producer puts up a special copy of the live show from the day before, but he'll embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it, and pictures of the good guys and bad guys pop up as we're talking about them. So it's really a unique way of watching the show. Again, our Rumble channel is called Leo Roundtable. You can also type in law enforcement talk show and it'll pop up as well. So on this one, we got the story from rumble.com on our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Nashville police officer fatally shot a man after he charges at the officer with a gun.
Put the gun down! Stop! Put the gun down! Put the gun down! Put the gun down!
Shots fired.
So here's how this thing goes down. According to the Nashville Metro Police, officers were sent to an intersection at approximately 8:45 in the morning. This happened on Monday, June the 9th, which happens to be my 35-year wedding anniversary. Thank you very much. Anyhow, it was a response to a reports of a guy walking in the area while carrying a gun in his left hand. Now, the 911 caller alleged that to the dispatcher that the man appeared to be distraught and he did not look well. And so we've got a spokesperson for the agency. He said that Sergeant Robert Weaver, a 27-year veteran and community coordinator for the Hermitage Precinct, he responds to the call and he sees this guy walking along the sidewalk. I might also note that if memory serves me correctly, the caller told the dispatcher at the very last thing they said was it didn't look real, talking about the gun. But of course, you know, how can you tell a real from a fake, right? And so our cop gets there. He gives the guy numerous commands, but of course, our bad guy does not comply and continues to walk away. Acts like he never even hears the guy. But the cop starts off driving down the roadway on the bad guy's side of the road and just kind of like giving him commands, you know, from a distance. So Sergeant Weaver, it says that he ends up firing shots, you know, towards the armed man. But they're leaving a lot of stuff out that I'll cover in a second. Police said the gunman, who was not been identified, that he ended up dying at the hospital. Sergeant Weaver was not injured during the incident. It goes on to say that the 911 caller told Metro Dispatch that the guy didn't look well, carrying a firearm down the street. And the dashboard footage from the patrol car showed the officer following the guy as he walked down the street. Like I said before, the officer gets out of the patrol car, repeatedly tells the guy they dropped the gun. And in the video then appears to show the man run towards Weaver when Weaver fires two shots at him and the guy falls to the ground. Weaver, of course, is the cop. Now, going to my notes here, because there's so much stuff left out. The responding officer, he's just following behind the gunman. It's a pretty heavily trafficked roadway, and the guy's walking down the road. Cars are just whizzing by him, and he's got, you know, the gun down at his side in his hand. And the officer, he eventually stops the cruiser, gives verbal commands, and the guy to put the gun down. But, of course, this guy keeps walking. And then at 2:59 mark again, the suspect finally glances back towards the cruiser. So you know that he sees the officer, and now the officer gives a second string of commands to put the gun down. Guy keeps walking. Now, at almost 4 minutes into this, the officer turns and briefly, the guy turns, he starts advancing towards the officer, and he's got the firearm in his left hand still, but then he starts walking away again. So like a false alarm, but he makes the cop think he's going to charge him. Then at 5:46, our officer actually drives past the suspect. He sees a pedestrian walking, carrying like two ice caramel lattes or something in his hand, right? One in each hand. The guy's just oblivious to what's going around. He's walking towards the guy that's coming at him with the gun. This pedestrian doesn't notice anything. So the cop at least stops this guy, but he drives ahead of the bad guy that's walking up with the gun in his hand. So, you know, so he gets this guy who stands there like a deer with, you know, caught with the headlights on. He finally realizes the guy's walking up on him with the gun. And, you know, Randy's smiling because he knows what happened. This guy starts booking feet. You know, I don't think he spilled anything out of the line. They had lids on him, but I've never seen a guy run so fast with his hands holding two iced coffees in my life. It was hilarious. And now our cop takes the attention on the bad guy. Bad guy walks past the cruiser. Cop leaves cover enough to make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. I know I'm Monday morning quarterbacking, but there were poles and stuff. Cop gets caught in the middle of the street. Bad guy sees it. Now he's charging at the cop with the gun in his hand. He's out in the middle of, you know, of nowhere, no cover and stuff. And he puts two into the bad guy. Bad guy goes down, and that's the way it ends. So I'm kind of curious what you guys think about this and if there's any learning points for this. We got about 2.5 minutes before we come to our second commercial break. It was almost a tie. Jeff Winninger, why don't you take this one?
You know, I'm actually glad I read your little excerpt of what occurred in this video, because it was really hard to watch. It could have ended very tragically. And what I've always preached when I talk about tactics, it's about controlling that environment. So when he saw that suspect walking up the tree lawn on the right curb with a gun in his left hand, we have vehicles driving by. It's now time to get on that radio and start directing response code 3 of units to block traffic, because you need to minimize the other potential, you know, victims of this potential suspect. They try to harm somebody, may try to take them hostage, which is just going to escalate the situation. And then that, when you do that, there is all kinds of opportunity. I remember watching the video, you see that it looked like a stone wall, and a lot of the businesses were all just concrete without any windows. Great background. So it would have behooved the officer then to take his vehicle, deploy it on the far left side of the roadway after the traffic was stopped, use that as cover and begin to give commands. And then give direction of what direction officers should come into. So other officers could come in and they could kind of triangulate, set up an umbrella, which provides them cover where they can contain his movement. And if it did go to guns, you have an outstanding background where he allowed them to continue to walk. And then it did go to a shooting, which was absolutely 100% justified. But, you know, I about lost my mind when I saw the guy raise the gun and point it at the officer, and the officer still didn't fire.
Yeah.
There's a disconnect of that officer's understanding of the ability of that individual to fire three or more rounds before that officer could get around off, even though he's unholstered. So a lot to be learned there.
No doubt. And Randy, I know you can't wait to chew into this one. Guys, we're coming up on our second commercial break. Stick with us. It's about to get really good. We'll be right back. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. Now, that's where MITEC, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MITEC provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. And their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're not done. They continue to kill for up to 28 days, so helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MITEC to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MITEC. Again, that's compliantechnologies.com/MITEK, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, probable cause deep dive on June the 18th. You can sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. That is at bluethegold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show, joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton and Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger. My name is Chip the Block. We just got done talking about a story where we've got a man with a gun walking down the road, guns down at his side, I think in his left hand. And we've got a cop that rolls up, a single cop in a cruiser, giving commands from the cruiser as he keeps stopping. Bad guy keeps ignoring him. And anyhow, there's just so much room for improvement on this thing. But finally, our cop, after he gets a pedestrian out of the way, gets on foot, follows the bad guy with the gun, gets caught without having cover anywhere close to him. Bad guy charges him with a gun out, and the cop gets lucky, fires two shots, and takes neutralizes the bad guy. Lieutenant Randy Sutton, you're up.
Well, what I was concerned about during this whole thing was like, are there any other police officers in Nashville? I mean, a man with a gun call where I come from, that means that patrol cars are almost running into each other trying to get to that call, and this guy didn't ask for a backup. He didn't try to, you know, put anybody else into play here. And I was trying to figure out why that might be, because it just didn't make any sense to me. I mean, did he eventually take care of business? Absolutely. But there's a lot of lessons to be learned here. And, utilization of personnel. Well, yeah, this guy's a sergeant, right? That's usually what sergeants do, is they coordinate, you know, the action at the scene. So he was like the Lone Ranger on this deal.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, look, not to be outdone, we've got another story with the video components. Let's go ahead and jump to that one. Our very next one. And, you know, these stories might surprise some people. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, again, called This Is Butter. Officials released body cam footage of a fatal 2024 officer-involved shooting of Marquez Crowder.
Get on the ground! Let me see your hands!
Show me your fucking hands! And so where else will we be but Bastrop, Louisiana, So we've got District Attorney Robert Steve II. He released additional body cam footage of this fatal officer-involved shooting. So our 21-year-old, his name Marquez Crowder, was shot and killed by Morehouse Parish Sheriff's Office investigator Cody Kennard. This happened back on November the 23rd. So earlier in the year, a 20-year-old Harvey McHenry of Bastrop, he was allegedly in the back seat with deceased Crowder. Now, Crowder wasn't deceased at the time, but when you go through these stories, it's kind of like a soap opera. It's easy to get the bad guys and good guys confused. So sometimes I do these little things to kind of help with the confusion, mostly because I have to send it to like Randy Sutton. So anyhow, see, Randy's giving me, he's giving me the stink eye while I'm doing, so the people on the radio can't see it. He's giving me a stink eye in video. So I have to keep him in check. But anyhow, the guy who ends up getting shot and killed by the police, his name is Crowder. So we've got Harvey McHenry. He's in the back seat with this other dude that ends up getting shot and killed, Crowder. And the guy, the survivor, McHenry, he gets indicted by a grand jury after this is all over with possession of a firearm, possession of with intent to distribute dangerous substances. After deputies discovered two assault rifles, whatever an assault rifle is, loaded with 90 rounds of ammunition and drugs that were in the back seat with the two bad guys. So according to authorities, the Crowder guy that was deceased, the McHenry who survived, they fled the scene when investigator Kennard approaches the vehicle on what looks like a traffic stop. They bail out of the back seat. McHenry, the survivor, was allegedly armed with a handgun when he flees from the scene from the rear passenger door as investigator Kennard approaches the driver's side to address the traffic violation. Now, McHenry was later arrested, and he's currently incarcerated in Morehouse Parish Jail. Now, at the time of the incident, McHenry was free on bail, awaiting trial for charges, including attempted second-degree murder and carjacking stemming from an incident that occurred back in December 2022. So really a great guy, right? And that was where two victims were seriously wounded, but the guy's out and about and getting involved in this. According to officials, the deceased guy, Crowder, he fled from the rear driver's side of the door, allegedly armed with a handgun. So on our body cam or dash cam, you can clearly see Crowder, the guy that gets shot. He's the first guy to bail out of the back seat. And he's clearly got, it's a poor quality video. They do a pretty good job of like slow motion where you can actually see that gun in his hand flying up as he's running. And it was in his right hand. And as he's running, it keeps flying up and aiming at the cop behind him, you know, that's chasing him. So during the incident, Crowder's accused of pointing a handgun at the investigator, Kennard, multiple times, which is backed up by video, before Kennard fires his weapon, killing Crowder. When you watch it in real time, you don't even notice the gun. So you're kind of wondering, wow, the guy, you know, the cop blew the bad guy away. But in slow motion, you get it. It's completely justified. At the time of the incident, Crowder, the guy that ended up dead, was free on bail, awaiting trial with the other guy, McHenry, for charges including attempted second-degree murder, conspiracy, carjacking, illegal use of a dangerous weapon. So it goes on to say that on May the 28th, a grand jury received a report, heard the findings of the Northeast Louisiana Sheriff's Investigative Unit, and they concluded that the investigator's actions were justified, and it says they failed to indict him. Let's just say the guy was completely justified, and it was a justified and righteous shoot, but they don't say that. So the grand jury failed to indict him. You know, like he got away with one, Randy. I don't know. But commentary on this, gentleman, we've got about 5 minutes before we take our third commercial break. Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
Yeah, it's, you couldn't, these are serious, serious bad guys. And once again, the failure of the criminal justice system to do their job, you know, why were these two animals out on the street? They never should have been. And, you know, because of the failures of the criminal justice system down there, this whole incident could have been.
All right. We lost Rainey. Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, any commentary on that?
Well, you know, I noticed, you know, he's firing 17 rounds. That's pretty amazing in a short period of time. A novice shooter can fire about 3 rounds per second, and a well-trained shooter can fire about double that. And somebody that is extremely highly trained, which would be like a, you know, Navy SEAL or special operations team and SWAT or whatever with a municipal police department, you know, can fire, say, 20 rounds in about 3.3 seconds. So 17 rounds in that short period of time. That was some pretty good firearms proficiency. It'd be interesting to know what his hit ratio was. But, you know, the reality was all you had to do was look in that back seat and see what the potential threat was to those officers. So, you know, you oftentimes don't have an opportunity to hesitate or things could turn out bad for you. So in this circumstance, you know, those rounds by the layman may look at that and think that it's excessive. But as long as the threat was still there, which it was the entire time that he was capable of firing that many rounds in such a short period of time, the threat was still there. So it was objectively reasonable in policy.
I love it. All right. Good point, gentlemen. We got about 3 minutes before we take our third commercial break. So, guys, I think we have time to go to our a third story with a video component at rumble.com. We're still at This is Butter's channel. Domestic violent suspect shot by police when he holds an object in a shooting stance after pursuit.
CCTV footage of Martinez assaulting the victim. The investigation revealed Martinez confronted the victim in a parking lot and forced her into his vehicle. The victim was able to escape as Martinez ran to his driver's side door. As the victim ran from Martinez's vehicle, Martinez caught her and then slammed her head into a light pole and struck her multiple times. Martinez attempted to drag the victim back into his vehicle again, but was unsuccessful. The victim was transported via ambulance to a local hospital for injuries sustained to her head and face. Detectives from the Chino Police Department responded. Martinez then used his vehicle to ram into two police vehicles and fled from the stop.
David 10-1033, suspects ramming police cars. 1033, code 3 back, foothill.
Immobilization technique, otherwise known as a pit maneuver, which disabled Martinez's vehicle. The pursuit lasted 28 minutes and covered approximately 13 miles. Martinez refused the officer's lawful orders to exit the vehicle and submit to arrest. Martinez instead barricaded himself inside of the vehicle.
Including deadly force.
He immediately adopted a two-handed shooting stance, advancing quickly towards the officers and extending a dark-colored object directly at them, mirroring the actions typically associated with brandishing a firearm, at which time an officer-involved shooting occurred.
And the pursuit is pretty wild as well. So we're in Chino, California. I don't know if you know where that is, Jeff, because I know you're from LAPD. You do. Okay. Police opened fire on an alleged domestic violence suspect at the end of a lengthy pursuit through San Bernardino County. Now, it starts off at 12:15 in the morning, so just after midnight in Chino. Police say the suspect was involved in a DV domestic assault with his girlfriend earlier. And so we're talking about the Chino Police Department. So investigators identified this guy as Jose Martinez. He's 47 years old. And they say that he was attempting to force her into a car when he slams the victim's head into a light pole, and then he strikes her multiple times. Now, there's a video, a surveillance video, you know, showing this drama going on. It's pretty convincing. It's pretty sad. He again forces the woman into the car. She's able to escape, lucky for her. And then she ends up being hospitalized for treatment on injuries that she suffered, you know, during the incident. So they finally locate this bad guy, Martinez, and they attempt to pull him over. And it's around 11:30 in the morning in Fontana. But of course, he wants to drive away. So now we have a pursuit. He uses the vehicle to ram two police cars, and then he flees from the stop. And so in Montclair, officers, they end up successfully cornering Martinez in his vehicle. Neighbors say the police rammed his car multiple times to finally bring it to a stop. And now we have the crisis negotiators. They get called to the scene, including members of Chino PD SWAT team. And here's a quote, a statement saying the negotiations continue for over an hour before Martinez abruptly exits the car. He points a dark-colored object and advances towards police officers in a two-handed shooting stance, at which time an officer-involved shooting occurs. And it goes on to say that at least one officer opened fire. Martinez was rushed to a hospital in unknown condition. Officers say that the object he was holding appears to be a portable battery pack of all things. So we've got about a minute left before we take our next commercial break. But any commentary on this? Of course, the guy had over an hour during negotiations, Jeff, to plan what he wanted to do. But Lieutenant Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, really, this was a bad guy. The video, that surveillance video, demonstrates that he severely assaulted a female who was, you know, defenseless, essentially. But I commend the Chino Police Department for taking this investigation and continuing to move forward with it. Oftentimes, the LAPD, if we got a similar type call, you'd scratch out a report and then it would go to detective's desk. You wouldn't have any follow up until, you know, a week later. So I commend them for that. But, you know, we're coming up here on a break, so there are some tactical things to talk about. So we'll do that when we return.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. And I know that Rainey's going to have to go soon, but guys, stick with us. We'll have a commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, you know, we encounter guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett, and also attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course itself has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're watching the show and you have your own agency, founder Dan O'Kelly's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're a law enforcement talk show. We're joined by Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, retired LAPD commander. And let's see where we left off here. You know, I know that we just got done talking about our third story. Jeff, commentary or anything you wanted to add? Or
yeah, you know, like I left off talking about the severity of the crime, and it, you know, turned out that this guy, you know, just recently gotten out of prison, and he was a bad.
Could we refresh for the radio audience too what the story that we're, or just the nuts and bolts of the story that we're talking about? Or
yeah, we had an individual that assaulted a woman pretty severely, and it was caught on security cameras. And the Chino PD respond, and the information that they're able to obtain, and the investigative critical information from the security cameras that they were able to observe, they were able to identify who this person was, and they locate him on the roadway, and then they conducted what's called a vehicle containment technique, which didn't work out all that well for them, and then it went on into a pursuit. And then they pitted the vehicle where it became stationary, and SWAT then responded. And it ultimately ended up in a SWAT shooting after over an hour of negotiations as a result of the actions of the suspect, where he exited the vehicle armed with a black object in his hand and took a shooting stance, which ended his life. But in looking at this and providing some analysis, like I said, I commend the Chino PD for taking this investigation and running with it in real time. You know, oftentimes, I got to tell you, I saw very similar things. And as a policeman in LA, responded to very similar things. And you'd scratch out a report, make sure the woman received whatever medical treatment that she may need. And then you carry on and you turn in that report at the end of the day because there's other calls to be had. But at the end of the day, I commend them for that. And that vehicle containment technique, which primarily was used in the LAPD by SIS, which is a special investigation section of the Elite Robbery Homicide Division. And SIS is the best and the baddest of the LAPD detectives. They go after highly violent criminals, those that have a violent past, and they go and take them down and take them into custody to have them answer and be held accountable to the violent crimes that they're committing in the city. And they oftentimes would use the vehicle containment technique. And it's something that you have to train on, you have to practice often to really be effective. And the mistake that was made here is they left too much room between the suspect's vehicle and the vehicles that were being used with this technique. You also want to use larger vehicles. I think the front vehicle was just like a sedan, an undercover sedan, and you want to use a larger vehicle. But that being said, let's move forward to the tactical scenario. Very much unlike the shooting we talked about before, where there's all kinds of background issues, they had the perfect background. It looked like it was perhaps in an industrial area, and he had nothing but a cinder block wall of concrete building just behind him. So they properly deployed. They had this guy eyes on from a number of different perspectives so they could see everything that he was doing. And then it ultimately did end up in a circumstance where they had to use lethal force and, you know, and ended up ending this individual's life. But, you know, let's let the listeners realize that law enforcement officers use lethal force, not with the intent to kill people, but with the intent to stop the lethal threat to their lives or lives of somebody else. So it's never the intent of law enforcement to kill people when they use lethal force. We realize that, yes, that can potentially could be the outcome, but this is about stopping the action, and that it rose to that level because clearly, even though it turned out to be what's called a perception shooting, where it wasn't a gun, but I mean, what would you say it was, Chip? A black battery electrical pack. Battery pack. You know, it clearly, when he takes that shooting stance, it's objectively reasonable for those officers in those circumstances in a rapidly unfolding tactical scenario to observe and perceive that object is a gun, and to hesitate if it were a gun could cost an officer his or her life. So very commendable. I thought they did an outstanding job at the containment location.
Yeah, good point. You know, I'd like to touch on that. There's a lot of people that watch the show that just, you know, they don't have a law enforcement background, some things they just don't understand. I know there's people out there right now thinking, well, crap, you got a guy pointing a battery pack at you. Maybe it's a pack of cigarettes. Maybe it's a lighter. Maybe it's a plastic gun, you know, or water gun. You know, why would you shoot the guy? Nothing says, nor should it say, that you have to wait until you have incoming fire right before you neutralize a threat or you be dead. People have to understand that. Let's say that, you know, kids have guns, they point them, they paint them orange to show that they're not real guns. Well, if we treated orange guns differently, I assure you that every bad guy would take a real gun and paint it orange. Because if I was a bad guy, that's the first thing that I would do in the hopes that cops would not treat me like I had a real gun. You have to treat those things as what they are. It's a lethal threat. And even if it's not a real gun, I mean, you rob a bank and you have a fake gun, you're still going to get charged, you know, with armed robbery. You sell butadine, you know, or fake drugs to someone that looks like, you know, crack cocaine. Guess what? You're still going to, you're going to go to jail for attempted to sell an imitation, you know, drug to somebody. You're still going to go down for that original charge with the same penalty. So people have to just, you know, you don't have to wait till lethal force is used on you. And we can shoot bad guys that are unarmed because they're going for our weapon too. You know, so there's a lot of applications that are justifiably made, rightfully so, that some people may not understand. Or maybe when we say things like what I just did, maybe the light bulb will go off and say, oh, okay, I get it. Hopefully that's the case and they get it. But not everybody has I'll call it the capacity. It's not necessarily an intelligence thing, but I get into debates or discussions with people all the time, and they are simply not built with the capacity to be able to get it. It's just the fact of life. I can tell them blue in my face. I can describe a use of force into somebody, and they sometimes just don't have the capacity, right or wrong, to understand why we do the things we do when they're completely, they just don't get it. And you know, it's not necessarily an intelligence thing. For whatever reason, they just don't get it. I don't know if you experienced the same thing, Jeff, or not.
Well, yeah, you know, what I really rely on when I explain these sorts of things is the empirical evidence, because it's all about neuroscience and how our bodies actually work. And, you know, as a police officer, what I talked about in the previous segment here was about how many rounds you can fire in such a short period of time. So if you apply that to a bad actor, their ability to fire an X number of rounds before an officer would have the ability to respond.
Oh, yeah.
because you know, if you, anybody that wants to look into this a little bit more, you know, go to Force Science, Bill Lewinsky, Google that and look into that. And he talks about, you know, reaction time. So you can even have your gun out of holster and in a low ready, which is holding your gun at a 45 degree angle, pointing down, ready to come up on target in the event that the threat occurs. The amount of time that it takes you to perceive now that the threat is there and then determine how you're going to respond and then respond, you're at like 1.7 seconds if you're highly trained. And not every officer is as highly trained as the next. So, you know, you're talking about a novice shooter. And I'm talking about somebody that doesn't have really any idea what they're doing firing a firearm. They can get a minimum of 3 rounds off in 1 second. And it's going to take you, you have almost a whole nother second of rounds that you're going to take from that novice. So a novice person can get off six rounds. And if it's somebody that's trained, which many of these people have, it's double that. And if they're highly trained, like I said, in 3.3 seconds, they're going to get off 20 rounds. That's a heck of a threat. So you don't have time to, you don't have time to hesitate when certain circumstances present themselves. And when you see somebody, when you watch this video, people, when he comes out and takes that shooting stance and there's no mistaking it, and you see that black object, it's unfortunate, but it forces the hand of the police officer to use lethal force.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Hey, another great show, Lieutenant Jeff. I know that Lieutenant Randy Sutton had to bug out here a few minutes early, but we are going to be talking about his charity in a second. Jeff, I know you've got a book, and it's called On Thin Ice. And can you tell our audience about it and how they can get a hold of that book?
Yeah, you know, it talks about my personal background, my professional experiences, my practical insights, and some actual solutions that I see moving forward that we can implement to help law enforcement be successful in the 21st century. And if you want to learn any more about it or be put on a waiting list, you can go to jeffweninger.com, or so you don't have to worry about spelling my last name, just go to onthinicebook.com and it'll take you to the landing page.
You see the new banner I have up on the screen for you? Look at that. Wow. That's because I like you. So yeah, but there you go, audience. That's how you get it. JeffWininger.com or onthinicebook.com is coming out, I think, around September-ish kind of area. So
my marketing team told me to say late summer, early fall.
So. All right. There you go. Hey, the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Just want to mention them as well. Also, our sponsors, guys, please support them. Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. And guys, thanks for the support. We appreciate it. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern. You can always find us at LeoRoundtable.com as well.